our theme of the morning, which is Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. I would assume that by this point in the year, many of you have learned some of the more well-known topics of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. We've probably learned about Kibud Av V'Em in one way, shape, or form. We've probably learned about, not stealing, not taking revenge, about doing chesed for people. And one of the topics, Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, that is discussed, I guess, in a practical sense, but not from a Torah sense, is the obligation that one has when being a guest in someone's house. We all know at the beginning of the year, Rabbi Goldsmith gives you guys like etiquette rules. You know, don't eat before the host, even if it's soup, always offer to bring things, always offer to help. And those are all true and those are all very important. But what I'd like to focus on today is the Torah's perspective and Chazal's perspective on what the obligation of a guest in a host's house is. But before, the truth is, before we begin to discuss the obligation of a host, I want to spend just six sources discussing the obligation of a Before we discuss the obligations of a guest, I want to just spend a couple of minutes discussing the obligations of a host. And really the framework, the first example, well, we all know that Avraham Avinu was probably the greatest machnis orchim in Jewish history. And so I guess the framework for some of the halachos of machnis orchim begin with Parshas Vayera, begin with Avraham Avinu expressing his unique form of machnis orchim. So we're going to begin. The Torah tells us in Bereishit, number one, the Mar Makomos, Bereishit Perek Yud Chet, Vayira Elav Hashem Be'elonei Mamre. So God appeared to Abraham in the fields of Mamre. Hu Yoshe Petacho Kechom Ayom. Avraham Avinu was sitting at the door of his tent, at the door of the Chatzer of his tent. So what happened? So there is God and Abraham hanging out. Vayisainav, and Avraham opens up his eyes. Vayar, and he sees Vihinei Shlosha Anashim Mitzavim Alav. There are three people coming towards him, are standing there. Vayar, vayar, tzikratam, he runs out to greet them. Bipetach oel bishtachu arza. He runs out to greet them from the front of his tent and bows down to them. Now what we're going to see in a moment, Chazal is going to point out something very interesting. Who was Avraham Avinu talking to before he saw these people? Hashem. And then what happened when he saw these people? He ran out to them. So seemingly, who did he leave by the wayside? Whoa, that's pretty interesting. Look at Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer. Adoni, imna matzati chen beinecha al na tavor me'alavdecha. Please, don't go anywhere. Stick around. It's going to be awesome. Yukachna matmayim. Have a glass of water. Rachatzurag lechem. Wash your feet. Or yukachna matmayim. Rachatzurag lechem. Take some water. Wash your feet. Vishano tachat eitz. Why don't you relax? I have this beautiful tree. Catch a breath of air. Sit in the shade. It'll be awesome. Vekchapat lechem. V'sa'adu lipchem. Now we're going to get some bread. This is, you're here for this purpose. And the angel said, okay, sure, we're going to hang out. And he didn't just like slowly meander towards the kitchen. And he ran towards his tent. El Sarah, to his wife, thank you, to his wife Sarah. Vayomer Mahari, quickly! Mahari Shalosh Seim Kemach, get some Kemach Solet. Lushi Vasu, go get some Kemach Solet. And go knead some dough and make some cakes. Vela bakarat Abraham. Then Abraham ran towards the bakar, towards the cattle. Vayikach ben bakar rachvatov. He took a nice, soft cow. I don't know how you differentiate between softness or hardness of a cow. Vayiten al naar vaymeher lasot oto. And he gave it to the naar, and they ran and he prepared it. Vayikach chema v'chalav. And he took some butter and milk. Uben abakar she'asa. And the wonderful cow that was now cooked by Tamil from him, and gave to them, and he stood above them, he stood serving them, and they ate. A famous question in parentheses is that how could Avraham Avinu have served them a basar b'chalav, chema b'chalav ben bakar? Anyone hear any answers for that? Avraham Avinu, we assume, the Gemara Mishnah tells us, Avraham Avinu kept all the apples, kept all, kol Torah kula. So how could it be that he served them milk and meat? Yeah, Leora? Okay. I just saw your hand in a second.
No, almost like they didn't give it to you,
like, eat together. Yeah, that's what some of the explained, that if you look at the order of the pasuk, Vayikach chema v'chalav, he gave them butter and milk, period. Uben avakar, then however much time later, he gave them some meat. Yeah, that's a similar idea. Okay, you can say something else if you want. We're all friends. Okay. Amen. Based upon the above, the Gemara tells us, look at number two. This is the Gemara Masechah Shabbat of Kuchav Zayin Amar Aleph. A lot of discussion about how important it is to be Machnas Orchim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gadol Achnas Orchim Kehashkamat Beit HaMidrash. Hachnas Orchim is as important as coming to the Beis Medrash early. Tiktanim Mipnei HaOrchim Mipnei Bitul Beit HaMidrash. For whatever reason, they learn it out. Rav Dimi min Harda Amar, Rav Dimi from Nehardar says, Yoter miashkama in the Beit Midrash. It's not on the same level as going to the Beit Midrash. It's even more important than going to the Beit Midrash. Tekatan b'pnei Horachim, Hadar b'pnei Bitul Beit Midrash. Okay. And now we have the final pshat. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Gedol ha'achnas odachim mehakbalat pnei ha'shchina. Welcoming guests is even more important than receiving the Shechina. How do we know that from our pasuk? Vayimeher, im nam matad yechein beinecha al na atavor miavdecha, that we saw that Avraham Avinu left the Kadosh Baruch on the side, and he went to machnas the orchim. So again, showing us how important the idea of achnas orchim is. There's a story about, I think it was Rav Shlomo Freifeld, who's a big rabbi in he was Roshiva. What's the name of the yeshiva in Far Rockaway? Shoyashiv. He's a Talmud of Rav Huttner, and he made this yeshiva called Shayasha, which is like a little bit for Bala Tshuva. Now it's no longer, it's still a Bala Tshuva yeshiva, but now also for a lot of mainstream people. And they say when Rav Feinfeld, when he died, they found in his will, he wrote in his will, that he wants to be buried with pieces of his table. Either pieces of his table, a Shabbos table, or he wanted his coffin to be made out of his Shabbos table. Why? Because he felt, he wrote about it, he felt that much of his Avodas Hashem was done around his Shabbos table. So he wanted to bring that with him to Olam Haba as almost like a testament to what he was able to accomplish in this world. And that's how important Hachnas Orachim can be. You know, and we know that's something that we believe, it's certainly something that's very popular in Israel, something that's very important for us in Shabbat for women, that we believe that, I feel like I'm in America talking, that you know, we believe that chinuch, appropriate, proper chinuch, goes well beyond the classroom. The classroom takes up a certain percentage of chinuch, but a lot of it goes beyond it. That's why many of us, aside from the fact that you guys are so nice and so much fun, it's important for us, a value, to have guests in our house in order for, you know, you to become part of our family and for you to have, you know, all these nice type of things, because we believe it's a value, much like as we learned from Avraham Avinu. Okay. Okay. The Gemara tells us further, if you look at this, it's very cool. Look at the Gemara Maseches Brachos, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Bet, number 3. V'amar Rav Yehuda, Shlosha Devarim, Ma'arichim Yamav, V'Shnotav Shel Adam. There are three things that lengthen someone's life. What are they? Hama'arich b'tfilato. The more time you spend davening, the longer your life will be. Hama'arich al shulchano. If you lengthen your table. What the Mefarshim say you lengthen your table means that you have a lot of food at your table. You provide a lot so poor people can come and eat. Again, the idea of welcoming people at your house. And the last one, I don't understand it. Hama'arich b'tfilato. Spending a lot of time in the bathroom also. So I guess some type of a digestively healthy way can lengthen your life. I don't know. Okay? Haven't seen the latest medical literature. The next Gemara, Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadi Bet, Amud Aleph, is as follows. Ava Amar Rav Elazar, Kol She'enu Mishayer Pat Al Shulchano. Whoever doesn't leave some bread on his table, Eino Ro'es Siman Bracha Le'olam, will not see Siman Bracha. What does it mean you don't leave any bread on your table? I mean, don't just buy stuff for yourself. Make sure to get stuff for other people. Make sure to be able to provide for others. If you don't, Eino Ro'es Siman Bracha Le'olam, Shneir Mar, the Pasuk says, again, the same idea is that we want to make sure to provide for others, not just about you, it's about the world. That's why the Shulchan Aruch tells us, if you look at number 5, Kol davar shmevi'in lefnei ha'adam sheyesh lo reach v'adam te'ev lo. If you bring something before a person that has a great smell, tzarich litein mimenu l'shamesh miyad. Let's say you're having, in the olden days, the way you used to tip waiters. Now the way you tip waiters by giving them money, depending how frugal you are, 15, 10, 20%. And in the olden days, the tips that the waiters would receive were a little bit of the food. You'd go out to Papagayo's and you'd get, you know, all you can eat. So you'd invite your waiter, Jorge, to come and sit down with you and give him some food to eat. So what if kol davar shemivin lefnei adam sheyesh lo reach v'adam ta'evlo, tzrich letein mimenu l'shamash miyad. So if you're sitting down there and you're eating some yummy food, you have to give it to your waiter immediately. Umidat chasidutu letein lo miyad mikol min v'min. Don't just give him like the thing that smells good. Give him everything. Don't give him what he's holding, a cup in his hand, or biad balabai, whatever it is. But we see this idea is that, again, you shouldn't hold things back from people who are eating with you. You have to make sure to provide for others as well. And the last one, in terms of our discussion about the responsibilities of a host, look at number 6. Hachi Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Asur lo la'adam shitom klum ad shitein ma'achal behemto. That you cannot taste any food yourself until you give food to your animals. Nehemiah's public says, "Venatati esim sadcha levimtecha v'hadar v'chalta v'sevata." That first we gave food to the animals, and then you went and ate. So the again, the highlighting here that we have to make sure that we're able to provide for animals before we provide for ourselves. And certainly it's true of the yeshiva boy because they are likened to animals in many ways. But aside from that, we have for any time you have guests over, you have to make sure that you're going to be providing enough For your guests, you shouldn't hold all the food for yourself. Like, for example, let's say someone had an addiction to Coke Zero. You know, it wouldn't be polite for you to keep the bottle by your chair on the floor and only, you know, take it out when you want to drink and not polite for other people. I've done that before. Neely called me out on it. She found me out. And my kids did also. Sometimes be like, why is there soda on the bottom of your seat? It's very important to be able to provide for everybody. If it comes to the table, it's fair game. And anything you bring to the table has to be for everybody. You can't withhold it. You can't only have it for yourself. Again, that's just appropriate conduct. When it comes to animals, we do have to feed our animals before we feed ourselves. Okay, so that's the obligations in a nutshell. You should be aware when you go to someone else's house what they're obligated to do, or not even what they're obligated to do, appreciate the fact that someone's welcoming you into their house and providing for you all these things. Okay, now let's get down to the nitty-gritty, to these somewhat entertaining at times, and certainly mind-opening halachos regarding your obligation as a guest. Okay, so first we begin with a scary Rambam. The Rambam tells us as follows. Umahen chamisha dvarim, this is Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Dalel Chadalet. Umahen chamisha dvarim, ha'ose otam ein chezkato lashuv mehem. There are five things that if you do, the chazaka is that you won't be able to do tshuva from them. You're going to do them, but you won't be able to do tshuva. What are they? Lefi shehem dvarim kalim be'enei rov adam, because these are things that are people don't take so seriously. And you end up sinning. And you don't realize it's a sin. So there are five things that pretty much you're going to get punished for, pretty much you're going to be sinner about, because we don't realize how grave they are. Here they are. Aleph. If you eat from a meal and there's not enough food left for the host, it's as if you're stealing. You assume it's not a sin, and you assume that, you know, they wanted you as a host, wanted you to eat everything that, you know, they offered you. You know, oftentimes you go to people's house, they say, take whatever you want, make yourself at home. They don't always mean that. I mean, oftentimes they do, but they don't always mean it. We once had a story when this happened to us. We had some seminary girls over, as you can imagine, for a Shabbos. And one of the things that Neely makes that's very tasty is she makes this delicious pumpkin kugel with like a crusty, cinnamony, sugary topping. It's delicious. Once in a while, she'll put some nuts in there. It's really insane. So we had guests over. We had these seminary girls over, and you know, at the end of the meal, we said, make yourself comfortable, make yourself at home. There's the cups, there's the drinks, you know. Feel free to take any of the food, enjoy, have a great time. So when we went to sleep, there was a kugel. And when we came back, there was like two pieces of a kugel. We woke up the next morning, we knew we wanted to set the table. They had eaten, I think by our count, around 20 pieces of kugel over the course of the evening. Which is fine. It might have been a vak gezel, I don't know. I'm assuming it's not. But since then, Neely has made sure to make ample kugels. Now she does four per Shabbos. Two sweet and two salty, is that what you call it? Two sweet and two... Like what? Savory? Savory? Savory is like gravy filled, no?
No, that doesn't make sense.
Two salt, you know, it's usually going to... I don't know if they know our menu, but whatever. That's what we do in order to make sure. Now that we want to make sure that everyone has what they... Everything they can possibly dream of or imagine. Okay, the next one, we'll just go through these because it's important to keep these in mind. Hamishtamish ba'avutoh sha'ani. If an ani gives you something, you're holding on to something for an ani, a pledge of an ani literally. Sha'avut sha'ani eino ela kigon kordom u'macharisha. So if you use something that an ani has given you, a poor person gave you something to hold on to and you're using it, like a shovel or a plow, vayomer b'libo, eino cheserim, and you're going to use it and you're going to say, it's not going to be bad for him. You're not stealing anything from him, you're just using his shovel. Hare lo gazalti oto, you think you didn't steal from him, but in fact, it could be that the ani is very particular about the meager items that he has in his possession. You're going to use it, and you're going to see that you really should not have used it. Next one, gimel, hamastake barayos. You look at things that you shouldn't be looking at, or you read things that you shouldn't read, think about things you shouldn't think about. Ma'ale al da'ato she'en b'kach klum. You think, it's nothing, it was just in my mind. Shu'omer, chibalti o kirapti etzad. Did I do something bad? Did I cross any red lines? You don't understand even looking at things inappropriately is very bad. It eventually leads you to worse things. Don't follow after your minds and your hearts. So I am sure that in one way, shape, or form, we read books we shouldn't read, we watch TV shows we shouldn't watch, and as a result of that, we don't realize that that's probably a sin. I'm not telling you what to do, but Shuba certainly is recommended. Next, this is also a tough one. If you are happy you love when your friends are embarrassed or your friends are ashamed. Like if your friend gets called out for something and you're like that, boo yeah! Like that's hamit kabin bekalim chaveiro. You like when your friend has an epic fail, is that the word?
Yeah.
Right? Like whatever, hashtag. Whatever, epic fail. Probably. Well, it depends on how that would occur. Meaning, if it's like all in good fun, then yeah. But if it's not all in good fun, if it's all like cruelty, then it's probably bad. So hamit kabein bekalon chaveru omer belibo she'eno chet. The fish ain't chaveru omer sham below gilo boshet below biashto el erech maasav atovim mechachmatol mu maasei chaveru. Even if your friend's not there, you hear that something embarrassing happens to your friend, you sit there giggling and snickering about it. It's not recommended. And the fifth one, hey, hachoshek sheirim, if you inappropriately judge someone, hachoshek sheirim, judge someone, hachoshek sheirim, omer belibosh enuchet, lefishahu omer, ma'asit yilo, I didn't do anything to him. V'chiyesh ha-melech hashad shema'asa hu lo asa hu ene yodea, she'ze avon shemasim adam kasher b'da'ato kebal aveira, it's a sin to even think of someone who is really kosher, you think that he's someone who's doing an aveira. So we see that all these things are five things, which I'm sure we can all think of times in our lives that we have done many of these five things, including stealing from your hosts when they said take whatever you want but didn't mean it. So be aware that even when your host tells you, I'm saying api halacha, even when your host tells you make yourself totally at home, doesn't mean really make yourself totally at home. We had, I remember when I was in Shalvim, I guess I could tell the story, it's not so bad. We were in Shalvim, so some of the guys were babysitting for one of the rabbis in Shalvim, and he was very interested in seeing the rabbi's wedding album. So he started looking through the rabbi said, make yourself at home. Started looking through the drawers, looking for the well. There's a line where we shouldn't cross. Even though we say, make yourself at home, there's a limit to how much you really say make yourself at home. That being said, anyone's going to make yourself at home. Anyone's going to ask for Shabbos to make yourself totally at home.
Okay. Wait, did they find the album?
They found it, yeah.
Why is that such a big deal?
They would now. We're so relaxed.
You don't actually want to...
No, we actually mean it. We mean it. What'd you say? That's a different halachic issue. It happened recently. One of my daughters, one of my daughters we poured the grape juice and they drank it and then they pointed out in a humorous fashion that they were mimicking the actions of a girl from Shabbos Women at one point in time. They said, quote, you pulled a insert name.
Why are you drinking soda?
I was up so late last night.
But you said you haven't had a sip of it since before Pesach.
That's a lie.
Well, I had a couple sips since then.
You were doing so well.
I was doing so well, but the problem was that last night my children were at the bonfires, which is normal. So they didn't get home. My daughter got home at 1.
What?
And my son got home at 2.
What's curfew?
So, and the rule is, you come home, you clothing straight to the washing machine, child straight to the shower. So I didn't get to sleep till 2:30 last night. And I woke up. Baruch Hashem, I woke up. No, that's actually early bonfires. When I left this morning, when Leigh and I were pulling out of Shalvin for men, there were still, you guys don't realize that, but you guys are total big losers. So when we left this morning, the bonfires in Shalvin were still smoking this morning. Okay, let's continue. Okay, so one thing, one halacha to keep in mind when we're a guest in people's house is that even though the host might say, make yourself totally at home, don't go overboard. Make sure not to cross that line. Make sure not to make yourself, quote, totally at home. Next, an interesting Gemara. This is a cute one. The Gemara tells Maseches Pesachim daf pei vav amud bet, we're in Maror Malkum number 8. Amar lehu kol ma sheyomar lecha bal habayit oseh. Whatever the Baal Bayit asks you to do, you do. Chutz mitzeh. But if he kicks you out, you don't have to leave. But whatever the Baal Bayit asks you to do, you do.
Does that count for
a Probably not. Maybe. I don't know. That's a kibbutz av eim. That does apply to your parent, but for a different reason. Because a kibbutz av eim. So if your host asks you, because they assume let's assume it's Shabbos or whatever. What are you going to do? You have no place to go. So if he tries to kick you out, you don't have to leave. I'm not, from an etiquette perspective, might be not a bad idea, because that sounds like a toxic environment. Exactly. But so if the Baal Bayit asks you, would you mind walking my daughter to her parsha shir? Would you mind doing the dishes? Would you mind, can you guys please quiet down over there because we're trying to go to sleep upstairs? Anything like that, you got to listen to what the Baal Bayit says. Again, so make yourself at home, but you know, have appropriate respect. And then the Shulchan Aruch tells us the next Maramakom, Siman Kuf Ein Aleph Siv Hei, HaNechnas LaBayit, if you go into a house, Kol Mashiach Lo Baal Bayit Ya says, you got to do whatever he says, whatever the Baal Bayit says. So what does that mean? You have to do whatever he says. So look at number 10. 10 is interesting. He says, Kol Mashiach Amar Lecha Baal Bayit Oseh, Hainu Afilu Devar Shish Puktzat Gasot. Even if it's something that has a little bit of pride involved, Shrara. Even if it's something that the host tells you to do, that you wouldn't necessarily do because you're a little bit shy, or you wouldn't necessarily do because you don't want to be like a Baal Gaiva. You know, if someone has a very nice voice, you know, some, you know, there's some guys in yeshiva who have very nice voices. So you invite them over, no, sing us a song, sing us a song. I don't want to. Don't make me. You know, and then you ask them to sing. It's appropriate that someone's hosting you, you know, sing. Or someone, you know, invite someone. Well,
it's weird to be demanded to sing.
Okay, obviously. So sing! Sing now, fellow! No, no, no! No food for you till you sing. Boys, like, come on, let's sing some Spiros. Don't be like, eh. First, same thing we'll speak about in a few minutes. You know, if a host asks you for a Dvar Torah, if you don't have a Dvar Torah, you don't have to sit. If you can't, you can't. But if you have a Dvar Torah, the host says, can you give a Dvar Torah? So, you should probably say the Dvar Torah. It's the least you can do to repay the host for hosting you, no?
But they're nervous,
right? So, as I say, I think the Shulchan Aruch saying, try to get over a little bit. We had one time in our house a guy, yeshiva boy, who was also a little bit nervous to say Divrei Torah. And we happen to, in our house, guests will tell you that we have a very non-pressure Shabbos table environment. We don't make people say Divrei Torah. We don't make people, we interrogate people. We make them tell us all about themselves. But we don't make them say Divrei Torah.
No pressure.
So we don't make people, but some people do make you give Divrei Torah. I'm sure you've been to people's houses where they say, don't come without Divrei Torah. So we had in our house, we had a yeshiva boy over years and years and years ago when we were living in the Kollel. And we had a guy over and I said, anyone has Divrei Torah? And this guy, like, he had a Divrei Torah very shakily. He said, sure, I have a Divrei Torah. And then he took out a little notebook from his pocket and he kept on, and he read the whole Divrei Torah from the notebook. 45 minutes. Neely was in the kitchen holding the fork like a spear. Ready to 45 minutes. Okay, so he went overboard. He's probably over some Isurim. Okay, but I'm joking. Then the Mishnah Berurah goes on and continues and says, so not only should you sometimes get over yourself, sometimes even something's a little bit embarrassing for you, get over yourself and do what the host asks. Then he says something very cool, which we're going to talk about in a minute. V'im ha'oreach noheg eze prishut b'davar, sh'oseh mishum srach iser. And let's say you have a special chumrah, you have a special halacha, you have something that you're super duper careful about, you go beyond the call of duty when it comes to this thing. Eino mechuyab l'shmol ha'balabai la'avur. That if it's a chumrah, based on halacha, you don't have to listen to the Baal Bayit if he tells you to do something that's against your personal chumrah. Aval davar shu prishut ba'alma, but something that's not even based on halacha, it's just like your own little like chumrah, something that's your own type of like, you know, midas chasidus, tov legaver lastir ma'asav. It's better to hold back and not to give off the impression that you're holier than thou. Like, for example, you know, we'll use a practical example because we're shopping for women, yeah? So, obviously, for every person in shopping for women, they're very uncomfortable to be at a Shabbos table when there are boys around your age. I know. So let's say you were at a host house, someone invites you for Shabbos, and they inappropriately have boys over that are your age, yeah? So, like, even though your gut reaction is to turn to the host and say, I will not be at the same table as a boy! Mr. Brewer says that there's room to make. You should overcome yourself. You should overcome your inability to healthily socially interact with people, and it's okay to sit at the table. However, let's say I think from the Mr. Brewer here. I think that this example, I think there is room to be machmir about. If you're at a host's house, and the host wants to sing Zmiros and demands for you to sing us a song. I think that you can be machmir. I don't think you're required to acquiesce to the Baal Bayit's request that you sing. Kalisha is a nisser. Now, there are different ways of interpreting Kol Isha. There's room to be Mekel, there's room to be Machmir, but if you personally feel that you should go to the more Machmir side, I'm not going to say my opinion on the matter, but if you personally feel you should go to the more Machmir side, if you personally feel that you should be on the more Machmir side, you don't have, it's based on Halacha. You don't have to listen to what the Baal Bayit tells you. You don't have to sing if you don't feel comfortable doing it. So there's a difference between something that's more halachically based and less halachically based. The Issur Kol Isha is more halachically based. I would say that the Kula is on the farther end of permissibility, and the Chumrah takes up the greater percentage of the halacha. Yeah?
Is Hedar Bechira, Yivul Nachrim, stuff like that, is that a Chumrah?
So that I would assume, we're going to see an example in a couple of minutes, me personally, I would assume, like the Rosh Hashiva said, I personally would have no problem eating a Hetem Mechira. What I purchased in my house is ideally Otzer Beitin. If not Otzer Beitin, I'd prefer to have Yevul Nachri. I'd prefer to have stuff from the non-Jews. And then the last thing I'll have is Hetem Mechira. So I don't think Hetem Mechira is treif. I don't think it's pasul. So because I don't think it's treif, I think it's pasul. I personally like to do a little bit better than that, so I'll eat it. But Kalisha is something that could very well be usher. Again, you can look at both all different sides. I could see people... So Rabbanu Dairy depends. It really depends. It's a good question. It depends on what the issue is with the Rabbanu Dairy. It depends on what you're eating. There could be so many issues. Like, for example, someone who is a Dota Mizrach, someone who is Sephardi, it's mamash not so simple to have Rabbanu Dairy or meat because of Bishul Akum purposes. Ashkenazim are a little more making when it comes to Bishul Akum. So, yeah, but Seder. So I would feel comfortable having certain things that are from Rabbanu. Like salads I won't eat because who's checking it for bugs? Ahmed? I would be nervous about that, or cheeses. I would be nervous about gelatin, or desserts. I'd be nervous about gelatin. So, which is more halacha? That's less of a chumrah.
Gelatin?
But like, sometimes. But I would, have like a steak, even if it's Rabbanut steak, because that's already glat and not glat, and it's definitely Ashkenazim, not glat, fine. But when it comes to dairy, I'd be certain things I'd be nervous about. So again, it's that question of, is it, we're speaking about chumrah, we're speaking about special above me on the call of duty type things, or we're speaking about halacha. Okay.
What if they make something specifically for you? They're like, look, Dina, I made this.
We'll talk about that. Good.
Good. Yeah,
good.
That's
right now. Right now. Good. What?
But they try to set you up with guys and go on dates with them.
So I would say you can nod your head when they give you a suggestion, but I don't think you have to go on a date with them just because your host 3 weeks ago on Shabbos told you to. Okay, talk about it after class. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch continues, the Mishnah Berurah continues in Sif Katan Yud Zayin, look at number 11. Ein big de yesha shemitzadei de hainu dafka zulat achila b'shtiya. Avav achila b'shtiya, when it comes to eating and drinking, em eino ta'av le'achol, if you don't want to eat, you're no longer hungry, you don't have an appetite, you don't want to drink anymore. And the Baal Bayit's pushing you to do it. You don't have to eat it. If you don't want to eat something, you don't have to eat it. You don't want to drink, you don't have to drink it. We don't need to get sick. And don't be concerned about the covenant of the Baal Bayit. If you don't do what he says there. So if there's something, again, this is one of those look and judge type things. If the person's giving you something to eat and like you're about to throw up, if you put another food in your mouth, it will be all over the table. Then for sure you can refuse. But if something just tastes a little bit icky, look and judge. If you can handle it, if you can eat it, eat it. If you really can't handle it, then don't eat it. It's one of those look and judge type things, but you're not required to listen to Baal Bayit when he forces you to eat or drink something. That's something that that you can definitely make about. But again, it's up to you to look and judge each situation independently. The Panini Halacha, Rav Melamed, sums up a lot of these issues and says as follows: Hamitareach etzel chaveiro. If you're a guest in someone's house, ra'oi shishma bekolo. So it's appropriate to listen to what he asks of you. Kfish amru chachamim, as the chachamim say, kol ma she'amar lecha Baal Bayit osa. Whatever the Baal Bayit tells you, you should do. The mashal, in b'kesh yimenu lezamein. If he asks you to make him a zumin, so make him a zumin. Now, that's interesting how this would apply to women. I'm not sure. You have to...
Oh, yeah, because that happens sometimes.
You have to speak to your local Orthodox rabbi. I think it's okay to come out of your comfort zone a little bit if your Ba'alat Habayit asks you lezamein. What's going on out there?
Well,
If your balabait asks you a zamein, I think there's room to be makel. I shouldn't say makel, it's like there's a chumra not to. Yeah. I think that if your balabait asks you to make a mezumen, mezumenet, again,
zimun.
We call it mezumenet, but a zimun, you know, I don't know, you can go out of your comfort zone a little bit. If the husband's there and you feel uncomfortable, okay, maybe that's something else. I don't know. It's a crazy thing. Can you say no? You can say I'm a little uncomfortable, and they say no, do it.
If what?
If you're uncomfortable, but the balabait says no, do it. So just do it. What's the end of the world? You're not gonna go to Gehenna for leading.
You might.
Look, you know, one could probably say that a host should not force that on people. But I understand, yeah.
Friends should also not force
it. Probably, but that's a different share.
I was once somewhere in Hezbollah, they were very, feminist, yeah, and they wanted, it, like, the women said Kiddush and this and that, like, very nice, but, like, they were trying to force, like, me and one of my friends to, like, be venturing, but that's just not.
That's not feminist, that should help.
Yeah, but you're not feminist.
So sad.
Yeah.
So if you don't feel comfortable, I don't know if I can do it. Were there three women there?
No, there was men there.
No women?
Three women.
If there weren't three women there, then you can't. That is halacha.
But if there's a man there, like
some people feel uncomfortable with that. I understand.
Just
say you'll hear again, you have to look and judge. Okay.
If they talk to a group with do one of you have to do it?
I'm sorry, say again?
If they approach a group of you. Like
someone lead the benching.
Yeah.
Your host is, you are a guest in someone's house.
Yeah.
I think that you can say, I'm not so comfortable. If they push you, they shouldn't push you. It's not right. It's not nice. But if they do push you at a certain point, I'm not sure if you can keep on refusing. You know? I'm not telling you my own opinion. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you what you should feel comfortable with, you shouldn't feel comfortable with. You know?
Just work if you cry.
Dasa?
Do you have to say the ending of each paragraph out loud?
So that we'll talk, that's halachos, birchas, amazon, we don't have time. It's a machlokes, mishmas, two different things. We're not going to go into that.
Very scenario happened to me last
year. Okay, yeah, so ask me after class, we'll touch on that. Yeah.
Is it different if you're a guest at family? Like your aunt or whatever, and then
certainly depends upon the relationship you have with the person. I would assume, you know. Okay, the Pnini Halacha continues in the next paragraph in number 12. Misha nohig ba'atzmo chumra yiseir b'nyani kashrus. Let's say you're super machmir at some kind of. Shh. I'm sorry. I'm going to interrupt that, everybody.
One, two, three, Torah.
No joke. Let's say we have some kind of an extra chumra binyan and kashrus when it comes to kashrus. Kasher hu mitareach. Yuchol masha mimasha baal bayit matzil afanav. So you should eat what the baal bayit gives you. Avalim hu noheg lachmir b'davar shagam lefi klalei halacha yish mekom lachmir bo. But if it's not just a personal chumra, but it's actually really based upon the klalim of halacha, you don't have to be mekel, what the Baal Bayit says. You have some kind of a chumra that maybe goes above and beyond the call, so, it's okay to be a little bit flexible. However, if it's something that's based upon halacha that you're machmir about, that you don't have to listen to the Baal Bayit for. He goes on and he says, Amnam, nonetheless, hayu rabbanim gedolei Yisrael, there are many, many big rabbis, when they were guests in someone's house, they would follow a lot of the lenient opinions, and they would even eat meat that's not glot. I'm very lenient on myself about these type of things. If I'm being hosted by somebody, I'll eat non-mahadrin meat, because again, I'm not, if someone's inviting me out to a restaurant, I'll have non-mahadrin meat. It doesn't bother me all that much. In my house, I only have mahadrin. My house, I only have glot, but there's a lot of room to make it. As far as a little trickier, because you have because not glad is not so glad for you. You know what I'm saying? Something you have to be a little bit more careful about. No. There are ups and there are plus and minuses to dairy, plus and minuses to meat. It's a whole shear in of itself. There's a famous story about who was the rabbi that this happened to? I don't remember who the rabbi was. I think it was Rapam, big rabbi in Brooklyn, Torah V'das. That Rav Kamenetsky. One of his call guys came over to him and says, Rapam, I don't know what to do. Well, what's the problem? He says, well, my in-laws invited us over for Shabbos. So that's a wonderful thing. Great, if you have a relationship with the in-laws, you should go. The problem is my in-laws don't eat glatt. They only eat regular kosher. Like, what should I do? Should I bring my own food? Should I have a cook who refused to go? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky stroked his beautiful beard and he looked at this young kol guy and he says, glatt is a chumrah. Kibud av aim is a chiv daraisa. So it's important to keep these things in mind. It's very sharp. Very charif. Okay. The Shulchan Aruch continues. Look at number 13. Hanichnas lebayit. This is obvious. This is etiquette 101. Hanichnas lebayit. You go into someone's house. Lo yomar. Don't say tenuli lechol. Give me something to eat. Atcheyom ruheim. Let them, you know, offer you food. Don't run into a house and demand food. You know, it's something that we do. It's certainly the more comfortable we are with people. You walk into the house. Give me some of those cookies. They're so good. Maybe you don't even say in such a harsh manner. But don't come into someone's house and start demanding things of them. Wait for them to offer you. Again, these are just some things in terms of the most acceptable practice for a guest in a host's house, in terms of sometimes going out of your comfort zone, in terms of listening to everything the Baal Bayit asks of you, and in terms of the flexibility of certain yanim of kashras and chumras, how when there's room to be flexible, it might not be such a bad idea to be flexible, but if not, you know, that's up to you. Okay, this is the entertaining part, at least for me, if the shir is lo liyot mag'il. There is a number of halachos discussing the importance of not being disgusting, not acting like an animal, not doing gross things at the table, whether you are a host, whether you're a guest in someone's house, whether you're a host, or simply hanging out with your friends. It's very important for you to act appropriately when you're eating. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Chagiga, Rabbi Yochanan kimati l'hai kra bechi. When Rabbi Yochanan learned this pasuk, he started to cry. All the actions that you do, we're going to come. Everything that's hidden, will become. You'll be judged for. So Evet Shirabo Shokel Lo Shkagok Donot Takano Yeshlo. So my Kol Ne'alam. Basically, what's this talking about? Amarav Ze Hahoreg Kina. Who is this person who's going to be punished? Is a person who kills a louse, like a lice. You know what lice, louses are? The bugs. Ze Hahoreg Kina Bifnei Chaver V'Nim Aspa. If you take like a bug or take a lice from your hair and go over to your friend in their face and go squeeze it in their face, you will, says the Gemara, you will be judged severely for doing something like that. Similarly, if you spit in front of your friend, it's gross. You know, you're walking down the street and you like hack one of those gigantic nuclear loogies. And then you spit. You're going to be judged for that. We are obligated, I think the Gemara is trying to tell us, not to gross people out, not to be disgusting around people. The Pinei Halacha says, look at number 15. There's some things that when you do in the privacy of your own home, ain't bekach pagam. So here, in the privacy of your own home, do whatever you want. But when you do it in front of others, it's just gross. And you are, and it's aser because of the prohibition of not being gross. Baal tishak, don't be disgusting. Also, it's important to remember the terms of an adam l'chaver. L'mashal, for example, hamechatet ba'af, you pick your nose. Omegarit pitzonim shebefanav, where you pick like scabs on your face or like when I was a kid, you know, I first told before when I was in high school, I had very, very bad acne, cystic acne, very bad, no. Very bad acne.
The entire and, time now knows this.
This isn't presented, alright, I hope not. so you had, I used to have bad acne. So if you, what's one of the grossest things, one of the most satisfying things for the person who has the acne is to go in the mirror, ba-bam! One of the most nauseating things for someone who is not, you know, who is witnessing the Baal ha-acne popping the pimples is seeing the Baal acne popping the pimples. The same, so you want to sit in your house and pop your pimples, you want to pick your scabs, you want to, like, whatever you want to do in your own time, it's fine. You want to spend half the day with your entire hand up your nose searching for a green gold, that's fine. Well, you don't, oh, that really should. But you don't do that in front of other people. That's absolutely hideous, absolutely disgusting. You have to be aware, you have to be careful about the way you act in front of others. You know my famous story about when I was flossing on the highway.
Yes.
And that's not worth it to repeat it. Best story ever. Say it again. It's disgusting. That was amazing. I won't. No need it to be repeated.
Why?
It's bad. It's very bad.
Despicable.
People, it's so nauseating. I might be over some lazy serve if I would tell over that story.
What did Neely say about it?
She's prep.
She's
prep.
I can't imagine what could be bad about flossing.
Okay. Not
okay. All flosses are created equal. Yes.
What about like cracking your knuckles?
So again, if cracking your knuckles disgusts people, then probably shouldn't do it in front of others. Yeah. How many people are disgusted by the cracking of knuckles?
I used to.
I think you can do it. Most people are fine with it. I think so. Sorry. At all. And don't talk around Chaya. Okay.
Whole body just cracks.
So I would say probably follow Rove out loud. You can call her, but don't call anybody else. The Panini Halacha continues. We're on the last page. So if you do these things over b'isurim elu, v'chein amru chachamim, the rabbi said, we saw that Gemara v'nimaspo, Shmuel omer zeharok, b'fnei chaver v'nimaspo, uv'miuchad b'eit shochlim, and certainly when people are eating, b'miuchad b'eit shochlim, tzarich lizeher b'kach kutik, I'll be really careful. Ki ma'asim me'usim, because gross actions, v'chein diburim magilim, and talk that is just nauseating talk, maftilim metateavon, it can... get rid of your appetite, umorim bechila bekerav ha-soadim, and it gets you all uncomfortable in your stomach. So when you are at someone's house and you're being served food, don't talk about your, don't talk about your gallbladder removal surgery. When you're a guest in someone's house, don't talk about the time, where you, debrided your pus-filled scab. Be careful, be aware of things that are appropriate to be spoken about at the meal and things that are not appropriate to be spoken about at the meal. Goes on and he says, this is an important one, we don't always realize this.
Bless you.
Love you. Don't sneeze at the table. Oh, I'm joking. The Shulchan Aruch tells us, lo yishoch prusav yanichen agabe ha-shulchan. Don't take a bite out of a piece of food and then leave it on the table. That would be inappropriate. Take a bite out of food, leave it on the table. The Mishnah Berurah tells us, why shouldn't you take a bite of food and throw it on the table? It's disgusting. No one wants to see your teeth mark in that food. You know, keep it all private. Obviously, if you're eating something, you can leave it on your plate. If you have a challah and your Shabbos and you're eating it bit by bit, that's fine. But obviously, it's not like, don't like go into the food, take a bite and put it down. That's a little bit gross. Shulchan Aruch continues, number 18. Don't gather crumbs all together and leave it like a pile of crumbs on the table. That's not nice. Because it looks gross. And here's the very important one. Don't take a bite of challah or a bite of food and then put it back inside the serving dish. Kids do this a lot. Because not everyone likes that. Like, you know, I've seen that before. You ever see people, there's like a basket of like rolls come out of the table and then you like touch each one until you find the one that's soft. Nobody wants to lick your hand. So you can leave, just, you touch it, you take it. That's the rule of the Turetsky house. We don't play that game. Certainly don't, similar in terms of halacha, you don't take a bite out of food and then put it back. Certainly double dipping is not something that we encourage. You don't, take a bite, dip in the hummus, take a bite again, dip in the hummus, or whatever it is that you like to eat. These are things that are gross, and these are things, not only are they gross, but if you look at the halacha, they're aser. The Shulchan Aruch tells something else is interesting. Lo yishteh me'akos v'yitein l'chaveiro. Don't take a drink and then give it to your friend, mipnei sakanat nefashot. Because that's just dangerous. What does that mean? That's just dangerous? Sure. Yeah.
But like in the Spartan household, like everyone has to drink from the
front. Yeah, fair. We can talk about that right now. Yeah, fair.
Yeah,
fair.
Yeah,
that's
gross.
Yeah.
Okay, the... We'll talk about that right now.
Don't take me to their house.
So we'll talk about that right now. Says the Mishnah Berurah, V'yitein l'chaveiro shema machmat habusha. So you're taking a drink, you're taking a swig of your Coke Zero or a swig of whatever you're taking, and then you pass it over to your friend. Shema, maybe machmat habusha, maybe because you're too embarrassed to refuse the drink, yikabel chaveiro mimenu v'yishter ba'al karcho. And he's going to drink, but he really doesn't feel comfortable drinking. Maybe that's gross. You don't want to do that. Maybe you don't want to drink the leftovers. Like, people do have backwash. It's a real scientific fact. You don't want to drink someone else's backwash. Like, why would you do that? No one wants to do that. To have shashin dinitarev ro koshan, because maybe some of your spit has now been mixed into that bottle of water. Maybe you're going to get sick. So the halacha really only applies if someone forces you or gives you a cup to drink. But if you take your drink, then you put it on the ground, you put it on the floor, and you say, I'm done, then you can take it, but that's fine. So it's no problem. It's not prohibited for you to drink a cup that someone else drank from, but it's prohibited for the initial drinker to then force it upon you. That would be gross. That would be inappropriate. He goes on and he says, I once saw on the will of Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, Shemashir Ma'od. He was very, very careful. Shlol lishtot mimasha shayir chabero. He wrote in his will, be very careful. He was very careful not to drink from other people's cups. Kishema lo yesh lo choli betoch gufo. Maybe he has some kind of a sickness. V'yetzei ruach mipiv lo tov shiur. That some of the ichsi, some of the sickness the person has, will go into the backwash. But maybe you can wash it off. Like, you know those people, it's always like, I see my son doing this. My son's like a little bit of a germ. He doesn't want to eat other people's germs. So like, a friend will give him a bottle of water. So what will he do? He'll take his disgustingly sweaty t-shirt and like wipe off the top of the bottle, and then he'll drink from it. Like, oh my gosh, you know what grosser your t-shirt is than the kid you just drank from? So he said that some, maybe you, if you wash off the area where you drink from, or if you pour out some water, whatever it is, we see that you are required not to make other people feel uncomfortable. When you're drinking something, you should not force that drink upon other people or the food upon other people. Pinini halacha ends and says as follows. There are some things that were acceptable, and that were number 21 in the past. Kiyom hem lo minu masim, but nowadays are gross. It's tzarich lin hok lefi amikubal biyameinu. You have to act with appropriate etiquette to what's acceptable today. Lamashal, for example, ba'avar in the olden days, hayu regilim lechol biyadayim. People would eat with their hands. Kiyom no gim lechol be'ezrat sakum. Nowadays we don't eat with our hands. So mishiachel biyadayim over be'iser. It could be that you're over a prohibition, but you eat with your hands. You're sitting down at your meal, and then you start, handling your food. It's not an appropriate thing to do. You have to be very aware of that. And it's not only like when you're a guest. Certainly if you go to the Goldsmith's house, the Mali's house, or the Shinkolovsky's house, wherever you're going, obviously we'll pick them and eat with your hands. But even when you're up here in the Chadar Ochel, and people are eating normally, and there you are, like taking the food with your hand, like shoving your face. You have to be able to look and judge to figure out what's acceptable, what's not acceptable, based upon the environment in which you're in. Because he says, it's gross, you embarrass yourself, it's disgusting. In the olden days, it used to be acceptable to totally spit on the floor in front of other people. So much so that the halacha tells you, the Gemara tells us, if you smell the smell of yummy food, and you can't handle it, it smells so good, the food that you're smelling, you should spit out your saliva. That's what the halacha says. The Gemara tells us in Ksubos that's going to be dangerous if you don't spit out the food. Hakayom, but then the Pnei Lacha says, nowadays, ain laso kach, we don't do that. Ain zeh nechshav mesukan, that's not dangerous, or gam ein menumas lirok b'fnei achim, we don't spit in front of other people. Can you imagine that? Like you walk into the goldsmith's house, and Joy, I don't know, what does Joy make that's very good? I don't know.
Cake.
Walk into the house, and Joy's making this cake, and you're like, oh, can I have some cake? And she's like, no, you can't have the cake, it's for Shabbos. That's gross, you can't do that. You don't act like that, that's not the way we act today. No, that, right, nor should you. Correct. He goes on and he says, number 21, here's what gets interesting. Some things are acceptable in one group of people or one culture, but in other cultures it's gross.
Like burping.
Yeah. And you have to be responsible. You have to be like a, what are they called? Like one of those, what are those people?
Classy.
A diplomat. You have to be like a diplomat, figure these things out. Beware of where you're going and what the appropriate manners are. The mashal, for example, some people do double dip chumas, like in a big chumas platter. Some people gross it out. So if in your family everyone eats from that one central chumus platter, that's fine. If that grosses some people out, so I think the bottom line here is that we have learned many halachos that are applicable to us when we are guests in people's houses. We learned about not stealing their food, even when they tell you to make you feel at home. We learned about listening to what the Baal Bayit says, even if you have to go out of your comfort zone. We learned about the possibility for some flexibility in halacha, even though you might feel uncomfortable. It's important for you to know the halacha, to know what you can be flexible about, what you can't. We learned about not being gross, not spitting, not picking your nose in front of people, not popping your pimples or killing bugs in front of people, because that will gross them out. We learned about double dipping your bread, which might be a problem. And we learned about drinking, forcing people to drink from other people's cups, it might be a problem. And all this, while it's important for us to understand that it is halacha, it's also important for us to understand this is just simple derech eretz. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the following blessing. He should bless us that we are zoche to be guests in people's houses and treat those people appropriately. But also HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bless us one more, and then I'll let you all go. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the really tremendous zochus of not only being guests, but being able to host many, many people. Besimcha, b'tuv levav. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. See you at 1:40.